Jesus says this morning, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. You know, this is week two of our five-week homily series on the Eucharist, and I want to give you kind of a way to think about this process of going through 5 weeks. Think of yourself as having a conversation with Jesus. You remember the story of the woman at the well, where Jesus sits down and he slowly draws this woman into deep conversation with him by really performing a miracle, by telling her he knew all about her life. And Jesus is, of course, he's the best, right? He's the master, he's the Lord of all. He's an incredible master at drawing us to him. And in this gospel that we're going through, John chapter 6, Jesus performs this great miracle as a way of drawing us into conversation. So I want you to, maybe if this is helpful for you, think about these next 4 more weeks of being in conversation with Jesus, like the woman at the well, conversing with him, talking to him. And today Jesus is saying this, okay, last week I gave you the best bread you've ever had in your life. He performed a miracle and gave us this physical, material bread to eat. I don't know about you, but I love bread. Everybody's different. I love good bread. I traveled across Spain and I ate my way across by eating bread every day. So I can relate to this. I love good bread. And Jesus says, yes, I gave you the best bread ever, but I've got something better for you. I've got true bread, bread from heaven, bread that doesn't perish, that endures. And so that's what Jesus wants to talk to us today about, this bread from heaven, which endures. I have really one point in this entire homily, and I really could just stop after I say this, but I'm going to elaborate on it a little bit so that you don't feel cheated, right? The main point is this. Every single one of us here, every single person on this planet has a desire for God within us that can only be satisfied by God. Every one of us, we have a desire for God, and it can only be satisfied by God. I wrote this in last week's bulletin. Some of you may have read. I don't know how many people read the bulletin, but I talked about this guy called the Donut Man. I need a show of hands. Who's heard of the Donut Man? I just want to see. Almost nobody's heard of the Donut Man. Wow. So when my kids were little, the Donut Man was this Protestant minister, kind of like Mr. Rogers, who had a TV show or video. I don't know if he had a TV show. He had videos that kids could watch. And it had talking donuts, which was really awesome. But his main point, the song that he would sing and the point that he drove in over and over again is all of us are like donuts, you know, the round donut. We have this hole in the middle that can only be filled by God. That's kind of a silly, you know, way to say it, but it is probably the most profound and important theological truth that my children could ever learn. And all of us need to know that deeply. We have a hole within us that can only be filled by God. Now, that's my whole homily, but I'm going to break it down kind of into the two parts. First is this. All of us as human beings have a desire for something more than material. This is something Aristotle talked about and other philosophers have talked about many, many years ago. This is what makes human beings different from all the other animals on the planet. You know, Aristotle was kind of this amazing Greek philosopher. I don't know how he made his money, but he sat around all day and looked at things in nature, plants and animals and humans, and he was able to think through and he said, yeah, this is what makes human beings different from every other creature on the planet, and that is this. We're not satisfied with just meeting our material needs. We're always looking for more. Now, he called it happiness, which is a little misleading because we think of happiness as this feeling that just comes and goes. But Aristotle says, no, it's not that feeling. It is this permanent state of existence where we are satisfied, we are fulfilled, we're living a life that's pleasing to ourselves, we have meaning in our lives. And this is what he said makes human beings different from all other creatures on the planet. That's what we're looking for. In fact, he would say every decision we make, if you keep taking it to its logical conclusion, is because we desire that goodness. We desire, again, what he called happiness. We want meaning and fulfillment in our lives. And you could look at all of humanity and history for thousands of years and see this is the plight of human beings, looking for this meaning and fulfillment, but usually in all the wrong places. And Aristotle answered this question. He said, you know, does money give us this kind of happiness or fulfillment? Does power, does popularity? And the answer was no, it doesn't. I mean, even, I could talk about this longer, I won't, but even recently, like they do science, sociologists will do scientific studies analyzing what makes people reach that point, again, of what we're calling contentment or fulfillment. And what they said is it's absolutely not money. You know, studies have shown that once you get people out of the poverty level, you know, and they're not struggling just to survive, and I think at the time of the study was put together, a middle-class income of something like $75,000 or $80,000, of course, not in Fort Collins anymore, but that salary, once you got past that, there was no real increase in happiness or contentment, even if you doubled the salary or if you tripled the salary. It just didn't bring more happiness. In fact, as you got to a certain level of income, there was a measure of unhappiness that they recorded. So money will not fill this hole that all of us have within us. Only God can. God is the only thing that can fulfill the deepest desires of our hearts. And we all crave for it. We hunger. We literally, the world is so hungry right now for the living God, for his divine life. And sadly, people look in all of the wrong places. You can see around us all the different movements that people get involved in, all the different political agendas, and it's man and woman looking for deeper meaning in life. But here's what the Catechism says. This is one of the most profound statements at the very beginning of the Catechism. It says this: the desire for God is written in the human heart because man is created by God and for God, and God never ceases to draw man to himself. See, this desire that we have for meaning and fulfillment is a desire for God. Only, and it says at the end of that sentence, only in God will he find the truth and happiness he never stops searching for. Only in God will you and me find the happiness, the fulfillment, the contentment that we never stop searching for. We're always searching for it. We can only find it. We have this hunger and thirst for God that only God can satisfy. I want to tell you a funny little story that illustrates this. You know, most of my career before I retired, I was a scientist. And so because of that, schools would often ask me to judge their science fairs. And I love judging science fairs, really a lot of fun. One of the neatest science fairs I ever judged was this little girl, I think it was fifth grade. I don't know where she got the idea, but I think it was a brilliant idea. She decided that after Halloween, she felt bad that all those pumpkins just rotted on people's front porches. And she said, I'm going to take all of those pumpkins, I'm going to mash them up, create a mash, and I'm going to ferment and create ethanol. And that's a brilliant idea, actually. I thought, that's pretty smart. But it got even better. She said, I'm going to take that ethanol, and I'm going to let my dad use it in his lawnmower all year. So it was this great ecological science fair project, but it failed. Does anybody know why it would fail? You know? Ethanol, she actually produced ethanol, believe it or not. She made a little still. She had the fermentation going, and she somehow distilled off and had pure ethanol at the end of it. Brilliant, but it didn't work. The experiment was a failure because, if anybody knows anything about internal combustion engines, you can't run them off pure ethanol. You can run them about 10% ethanol maybe, but the engine wouldn't run. My brothers and sisters, our engines will not run off of the things we try to put in ourselves. We're like that little experiment. We're trying to fill ourselves with something that we will not be able to run off of. We can try and we can be brilliant and we can be smart and we can think of all kinds of things, but our bodies, our souls will not be satisfied on anything we can create. It is only in God that we find the life and happiness that we never stop searching for. And again, the sad fact is in our own lives, in my life, and I'm sure in your life as well, we never stop looking though. We try so hard. I mean, even the Israelites this morning in the first reading, they have just been miraculously freed from Egypt, and they're like, oh, I wish we could go back to that. We had food there. No, the Lord has something so much better for us. You know, we just need to stop. I need to stop looking for this life, this divine life, in all of the wrong places. Jeremiah, the prophet, has this very powerful indictment against all of humanity when he talks about this very thing, that we're hungering for God, but we're not letting God fill that hunger. Jeremiah chapter 2 says, my people have committed two great evils. They have forsaken me, the source of living water, and have made for themselves cisterns that are broken, that can hold no water. It's an image, a visual image, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, speaking in the first person as God would speak. God would say this, my people, you're looking for life and water in all the wrong places. You've turned away from me, and you've built a container that has leaks and holes in it. It cannot satisfy. And so as we move deeper into this homily series, I want to leave you with a little homework assignment. I learned this from Father Joseph, that homework assignments are good at the end of these homilies. Take a few minutes this week. If you can come to church during adoration, that would be fantastic. But take a few minutes of prayer, quiet, before the Lord, and ask yourself a very difficult but profound question. How am I satisfying my spiritual hunger? What am I fueling myself with? What is it that gives me life? What am I filling my donut with, you know? Or this giant donut with a hole in the middle. And don't be afraid to ask yourself this question and to let the Lord take you to the answer, because I know for myself, I can't honestly say that it is always God that fills that part of me. I sometimes go and look for other things. But take that time of prayer. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what is it that fuels you. Because in this conversation that I talked about at the beginning, where the Lord's sitting down, he's performed a miracle, and then he says, I want to feed you. I want to give you the bread that satisfies, that never perishes, that never goes bad, that endures. That's what the Lord wants to say to each one of us. That's what he has for us. You know, God designed us this way. That's the ultimate truth here. God designed us just like an engine is designed to run off of gasoline. God designed human beings to run off the fuel of his divine life. And he wants to give it to us. He wants to give it to every one of us. And so as we go deeper into this homily, just to prepare you, Jesus tells us today that he is that bread of life. And he's speaking somewhat metaphorically. He wants us to believe in him, to latch on to him, to hold on to his teachings. But as we get further into John chapter 6, we find out something truly amazing. That yes, it's metaphorical, but it also becomes literal. It's both metaphor and literal teaching. Jesus, as we get further in John 6, will tell us that in order, the primary way that we receive his divine life is through the Eucharist. And so take that time to pray. And the Lord wants to give each one of us his very own divine life and satisfy the deepest hunger of our hearts.